Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles.
It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
For this episode, I get to stay in LA. You know why? Because we have some amazing people here, and one of those people is Adri Ramos. Adri is the bar manager of Los Angeles's Employees Only, but she's also created a group called FLAG, which will empower women in the bar industry here in Los Angeles and kind of help them move ahead into positions that we don't always see women in. So that's a great thing. Also, she loves her some sad, strummy guitar music and some classic old soul. So sit back while we talk about all of those things. Here's me and Adri.
My name is Adri Ramos. I work at Employees Only LA.
And how long have you been bartending?
You know, I thought about it this morning, actually. I was like, she's probably going to ask this.
I'm always asking that.
This year it's going to be 10 years that I've been bartending.
Oh, wow. What got you started in bartending?
I honestly didn't know what else I wanted to do, so I just randomly took... I actually took a class before I was even 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because technically, because it's not actual alcohol, you can, like, be a part of these classes. So I just took it, and then because I wasn't 21, obviously I couldn't go out and get a job. So I just was like, now I have random knowledge that I'm not really using.
But did you just decide to do that because you're like, okay, this is something I know I would be able to do once I get out there in the world while I'm figuring out what I'm going to do with myself?
I never really saw it as like a career.
Yeah.
I just kind of assumed that it was cool and that I like want to just learn something new. I'm very good at picking things up and being interested and then just kind of being like, meh, I'm bored. But that didn't happen with this, so I got kind of lucky.
Yeah, well, I mean, my dad was a high school teacher, and so he, you know, as all of us kids grew up and we're like looking into going to college and stuff like that, and college is very expensive, and my dad would say to us, you can go to college or you could go to a trade school because people need electricians and plumbers and things like that. And not comparing you taking that class to trade school, but maybe a little bit. You know, just the fact that you did that, because you're like, okay, I'll learn this little skill set, so I'll have this toolkit, in a sense, when you get out there. So when you turned 21, did you like go, okay, I'm going to see if I can work at a bar? Or were you doing something else?
I tried. I didn't try extremely hard. I was like, I'll just, you know, look around a little bit. And then one of the instructors from the class actually went to go open up a bar with these people.
Oh.
So he reached out and ended up being like, do you want to work at this bar?
So that's was that here in Los Angeles?
That was in Artesia.
Oh, wow.
It's like a little pub.
Oh, that's cool. That's a really good place to start, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was, they did a lot of like weddings and because they had like a big space, so yeah. They would do like receptions and parties and like a lot of bigger events. So I feel like I learned more skill set in that way.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what did you learn from that? Because there's always something. It's kind of like when you're working crowds like that, it's like you got really good at like knowing how to pour a perfect beer or something.
Yeah.
You know, or just how high up the wine goes or how to recommend wines and things. Yeah.
There's definitely skills here and there. It definitely was not craft cocktails. Mm-hmm.
But did it help you learn how to organize a bar, for example? You know?
It was. I think it helped me learn like how to be involved in making cocktails, but not necessarily like very nice, crazy cocktails. Because they were very like, if you want to make a drink, you can put on the menu, we'll go through it, this and that. It was very like open.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good foundation, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool as your first job out, but then how did you, I have to know a little bit of the path, because now, are you the beverage director at Employees Only, or what is your role there?
I'm technically the bar manager.
Bar manager at Employees Only?
Mm-hmm. I do help curate the menu, you know, the ordering, everything, stuff like that, so typical bar job.
Yeah, but not a typical place. I mean, Employees Only is legendary, and opened up in New York, how long ago now? Like. A million
almost,
years
I think
ago.
20 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a long time in cocktail world. Well, they've grown up a lot too. So, I mean, that's a far cry from working in a little Artesia pub.
Yeah.
So, what got you there though? Because Employees Only is like a very specific kind of place. I mean, it's one of the early craft cocktail like kind of pioneers for the Renaissance anyway. So when do you think you first started thinking maybe you wanted to learn that kind of stuff?
I had a job at this cute little place in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And
there's a million cute little places in Long Beach.
I love Long Beach.
Yeah.
The guy who hired me, which I actually saw him, he came into one of our industry nights the other day.
Yay.
And he's like, you're so grown up. Hired me and I started off and he was very like supportive. Mm-hmm. And they had like a cool little cocktail program. It wasn't anything extravagant, but it was well thought out for their clientele. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I was like, this is cool, like I enjoy this more than pouring beers and you know, that side of it. And then I ended up getting another job that I applied for randomly at this place in La Mirada called Puzzle Bar. And it was like a really small bar, but their whole entire menu was house-made.
Oh, wow.
So all of their bitters, all of the liqueurs, like everything.
Oh, my God.
It was a great, like, not hole in the wall, but like kind of a hidden gem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never heard of this place, and now I feel terrible that I've never heard of it.
It's closed now.
Of course,
because the owner ended up opening Wolves.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. And then I went with them to Wolves.
Oh, okay. It's funny, I just was talking to someone who'd been there the other night, and they're like, it kind of looks like a beautiful old train station inside.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, that's the Wolves. And they make all their own things.
Yeah.
Do they still do that over there? I don't think they do quite so much.
I don't think they do it to the extent of which it was when I was working there.
Yeah, when they first opened up, it was like, I know
it was
that
a lot of it
was made in-house. I would think that would be a lot of work.
Yeah.
So then, when you were at the other location, or the older space, did you learn those things too? Were you part of the process in making bitters? And
so I didn't learn.
What else did they make, like vermouths or something? Or
I don't think he made his own vermouth, but he did like cordials, liqueurs, bitters.
Yeah, okay.
He had a lot of like fancy, higher-end Japanese whiskey.
Oh, nice.
So there was a lot to play with on that end too.
Oh, I wish I'd known about this place.
It was a good spot.
what did you learn while you were there? Because that sounds like a laboratory almost.
Yeah, I learned more technique when I was there. The owner was very like interested and connected with like Japanese bartending, and like everything that you do in bartending is very like specific, and then you do things for certain
everything has a purpose,
everything has a reason why you're doing it. So that's how I started off with my like career, I guess, which I think is a really interesting way to start when it comes to actual craft cocktails.
That's incredible. I mean, not many people would get a chance to do something like that, you know, to work with someone who makes so much in-house, too. I mean, it's really going from one extreme to another.
Yeah, it definitely was.
So while you were there, were you learning, I mean, you're learning these little things like the bitters and this, but were you crafting at that point your own cocktails here, or was it more the owner?
Made pretty much everything. By the time we were like starting to leave is when my like training was over and I could finally start like bartending.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started learning everything else. But obviously he closed.
Yeah. But then went to the Wolves.
Yeah.
But that's a much larger end of like operation over there. So hey, and when you were there, did you get to start crafting like on your own, like make things on your own when you got to the Wolves?
Yeah.
Okay. So was there something you remember from your early days of creating your own cocktails that like you were just super stoked on? Like you made something, you're like, yes, this is going to be great.
There was like two concepts in the bar. There was like a omasake bar at the top. And one day during that bar, this guy was like, I just want a cucumber cocktail with salt. Can you just give me something like that? And I was like, okay. But because we had like all these like cool ingredients, I was like, I'm gonna do something a little bit different. So I made him, I don't remember exactly what was in it, but I made him like a citrusy sort of cocktail with cucumber, and then I put caviar around the rim.
Oh my god.
Because he had caviar for something else, so I was like, I'm just gonna put caviar. And the guy loved it. He was like, this is exactly what I wanted. It's so good. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yay! That's so cool. That's very exciting when that kind of thing happens, I'm sure. So was it, so after Wolves, is that when you wound up at Employees Only, or was it?
There was a guy who came in from Employees Only, and he was like watching me work. I was giving him cocktails and stuff, and he was like, are you looking for a job? And I was like, not really.
And this was when Employees Only was first opening up, right?
This was like a year in, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was gonna end up becoming the new bar manager.
Got it.
And so they were looking for people, and he ended up asking me if I wanted to apply. And he was like, just come in. And I went in, and I remember seeing everybody, and I was just like, wow. Like, everybody's having so much fun, and they're like, there's like a big crowd here, and there's like music playing, and everybody's just shaking cocktails, and I was like, this is very, very nice. Like, I like this.
That Employees Only, I've only been to the one in New York. And it's such a different vibe in there, you know, with the speakeasy rooms with the music playing, and just it definitely feels more relaxed in there. And I really liked it when I walked in there too. I was like, oh, it just seems like people are like, hey, how's it going? Want a nice drink? And there's some guy playing guitar over there, and it's gonna be nice. Yeah. And you're like, cool, okay.
I feel like what's cool about our place is that we like fluctuate almost. So it's like, you know, dinner service, chill atmosphere, nothing crazy, and then it hits like 9, 10 o'clock and it's just like a huge crowd, and you're like, all these people are just in the trying to get drinks, and you're like,
it is still in Hollywood after all.
Yeah.
I used to live like 2 blocks away from where it is now, and it's so funny because when I lived in that neighborhood, which was a while ago, I'm like, I had to walk so far to get to something nice, because really what we had nearby was like this after hours like gay bar where my best friend used to call me up when he was on drugs at 4 a.m. and be like, can you come get me and walk me home? I'm like, oh my god, sure.
And that's what I was used to in that neighborhood. And so now having employees only there, and like Formosa stepped up, you know, stepped it up and things like that. It's really a nice little area to go walk around and everything. I think it's lovely that it's down there. So you've been there for how long now?
It's going to be 5 years this year.
Oh my God. I can't even believe that it's been there that long. It still feels so new to me, but of course we had the pandemic in the middle of that. So that means that you were working there during the pandemic.
So I was there before the pandemic, yeah. And then...
And then after.
But I did more of the... We had like a patio parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
Situation. Mm-hmm. So that was... That was,
that
like
was something,
whole,
huh?
Yeah. But I mean, there was like big
grass. But you survived it.
Yeah, it was nice for a parking lot.
I know. We had a beautiful, over at the Mermaid, cool like garden set up. It was so nice. I was so sad when it started slowly being chipped away and then finally it was just gone. It was just, we really enjoyed having that space. We're lucky we're here in LA.
Yeah.
And our weather is good more often than not.
Yeah, except for today.
Except today, we have, happens to be a wet day.
Yeah.
That's got to happen from time to time when we really dry up. So at what point did you become the bar manager?
I think halfway through COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they had somebody already kind of placing the orders and doing like all the admin sort of situation.
Yeah.
The manager who hired me was leaving. It was like moving to Texas. And so he asked if I could like step up and take his position, which is the same person. I think I just
that brought you in.
Yeah. Oh
wow. So they left and you just kind of stepped in. And here you are. Well, that's really nice too, because I think we were talking about, you know, something that I really love to do is talk to and find more also Latina bartenders and beverage directors and all of this in this town, because we live in LA and I don't know, isn't it like 70% Latin here now anyway? And I'm all, where are you? Where are my people? Where are you? So I remember meeting you and being like, oh, she's an employees only. That's so cool to see someone representing as well. That made me really happy, you know, to know that you're in this position doing this stuff. And not saying you have to like step up for everybody, but I'm just really grateful to see you and see you there doing that. And I hope that inspires more people to like rise to that and everything. So I wanted to ask you about like cocktail creation there. Because I know you said you guys are working on a new menu right now, and what's your role in that? Is it like a whole team effort?
So we're kind of changing the way that we're putting cocktails on the menu. This year and next year in particular, I want the menu to kind of be focused around our bartenders. So, like, for example, I kind of asked them, like, what's your favorite fruit that you ate when you were a kid?
Oh, cool.
And they all kind of gave me, like, little answers. So now we're kind of setting up things that are, like, based around the fruits that we ate as children.
Oh, that's awesome, though. That's really neat, because then it'll be kind of a personal thing.
Yeah.
And we all love nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, I think we have a really good team. Especially right now, and so I just kind of want people to notice that and to kind of appreciate that the way that I think I appreciate it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think kind of incorporating little things about our bartenders and our menu
is awesome.
Nice.
Well, that's also a good way to lead, too, you know, to make everyone included, I think. So I always ask this question around this time, and it's about creating drinks, and the naming of drinks is always one of the hardest things.
Yeah.
Always. So I just wondered if you ever, in your history, can remember having named a drink after like a song or a musician, or if you were inspired by a song when you were putting a drink together.
So the cocktail that I was actually telling you about earlier with the lychee and the chartreuse.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that one was called Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, nice.
We had another one. It just happened to be a song name, but somebody made a comment like, oh, it looks like the spots in the moon or something like that. So we called it Dark Side of the Moon.
And if the dam breaks open many years too soon, and if there is no moon upon the hill,
Tim sent me today a playlist, and I was like, oh, cool, playlist. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh my God, it is 12 hours long.
I didn't even know that it was that long.
But I love that, because I'm like, that means I can just leave it on and walk away.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, like, half of what was on there. And I'm supposed to know everything about music, and I say this every time. That's not possible. There's no way. So I wanted to ask you, too, how you came up with that playlist. I think I remember from talking to you before that you don't play music yourself, right?
Not in any sort of way where I'm, like, able to get paid for it.
Well, I have a guitar, but, I mean, did you want to play music?
So I've kind of always said, and I feel like it sounds a little silly, if I wasn't so shy, I think I could have actually done something.
Yeah.
Because, like, if I was more confident in myself when I was younger, I would have learned more guitar, I would have learned more instruments.
So does that mean the secret side of you wanted to, like, be a, like...
A pop star.
Yeah. A pop star or a rock star, you know?
I think I would have been the sad...
Ooh.
Like...
Sad bastard music.
The sad, like, song person there with my guitar and, like, my blindfold because I'm still too shy to see anybody.
So you'd be writing all of our breakup songs?
Yes.
I love that. And do you know the artist Cat Power?
Yes.
Okay. So the first time I saw Cat Power, that's how she performed.
Really?
She like couldn't face the audience. It was in a really small club. And she started off facing the audience, and then she turned to the side because she couldn't look at anybody. And then she only played for like 20 minutes, and then she ran off the stage.
Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah. It was beautiful and also heartbreaking. I felt so bad for her. But then I saw her again years later, and she'd like... conquered it. Yeah. Was playing at Coachella, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's playing in front of all these people. So, but that's what you would want to do, is that kind of stuff?
I think it's really, like, I wish that the way that I enjoy music, I could show.
Yeah.
And I definitely cannot.
It's hard. I mean, that's why me working in music, I try to support artists because I can't do it.
Yeah.
And I say the same thing about bartenders, like, Katie, our partner, she made me guest bartend at the Mermaid one time, and I was terrified. I'm like, I don't bartend. I don't do this. And she's like, you'll do fine. You just work with four drinks, and you'll do fine. I was like, oh my God, she's making me do it. And I was so afraid, and someone came to me, and they asked for a regular drink, and I'm like, don't ask me for anything but these four drinks. Go to them. I will not disrespect bartenders by attempting to do what they do. Go over there. Because I really, it's... there's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations that people have to do what you do. And then if you're creating music, I'm like, nope, I'm not even going to try to fake that. There is no way. That's why I always see the similarities in these sort of things. Because as a bartender, you're sort of on stage too, you know, in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So then what were you listening to that made you want to write sad songs and strum a guitar, even if you didn't actually do it?
I honestly love, like, Otis Redding and, like, Nina Simone and things like that.
Oh, my God.
And I, like,
that's, like, some heavy shit sometimes.
I know. It's like, I grew up with a lot of oldies because of my parents, which I feel like is pretty normal because of the generational thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, Nina Simone isn't necessarily one of the regular oldies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like...
ask, what's your karaoke song? I'm like, Nina Simone. They're like, what?
Well, which Nina Simone song? It can be really fun or really dramatic. Just depends on your mood.
I like the feeling good one.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's always a good one.
Yeah. More people know that song now, even if they don't know it's her.
Yeah.
It's just been done enough, you know?
So, just any of that. I like that soulfulness that it has, which I enjoy a lot. And I think it's, for me, like, it's a lot easier for me to sing.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of emotion in it and everything. You can, I think when you can emote like that, the singing comes a little more naturally, you know, because it's so expressive by nature of it and everything. That's amazing.
I definitely can't do, like, poppy...
like the
high song
Olivia Rodrigo kind of thing. Billie Eilish, I love Billie Eilish, but I could never sing her songs because she sings such a high pitch that I try to sing in the car and my voice just disappears.
You're all like, oh, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, it just breaks. It just, like, literally it'll crack and just be gone. And I'm all, I guess I can't hit those notes anymore. But they are lots of fun. So these days then, because that's not on your list, but there is soul on your list. I noticed that because I think Leon Bridges maybe was on there.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I still see the soul in there. But I have to ask you about this 12-hour list. Is it just like every time you hear something you like, you just throw it on that list? Or how did it start?
It's kind of like I'm listening. I put a song on and then something else will pop up. Or I'll put another song on and then I slowly start adding things. And then anytime I catch myself, just all like, ooh, yeah, that's cool. And
yeah, that means I like it.
So it definitely changes throughout the playlist.
Yeah.
Like it gets kind of indie, chill, like relaxed, and then it'll get a little like Masego's on there.
Yeah.
So it'll kind of go in that direction. So it definitely fluctuates, but it's...
So if you could make music today, what kind of music would you be making? Would it still be like sad guitar music?
I think honestly, yeah.
So that still means when you go home, the stuff that you put on is like,
oh, yeah. I'm like, I get you.
So then what was one of your favorite things from last year? Do you remember?
Favorite songs from last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I guess there was still some sad stuff last year, but I felt like it was very poppy last year.
I don't know when the song came out, and it's honestly not even on the vibes playlist that I sent you.
Yeah, that's because that's a vibes playlist. This is the sad playlist.
I know, I like how that's my favorite playlist, but I'm saying that I would sing sad songs.
No, I think that absolutely makes sense. I remember, like, during the pandemic, I tend to always tell people I love songs with words. You know, there's so much fun pop music, but I love songs with, like, words. So same kind of thing. Like, I want it to, like, really express something. So kind of the sad stuff, too. So I'm with you on that. I remember during the pandemic, all I was listening to was, like, disco. It was, like, Dua Lipa. I'm like, this is what I'm listening to right now. And I realized at the end, I'm like, I guess I just needed happy music for the last year. You know, so that was what was really coming to the top of my list, were, like, those kind of things. Even though I still love... Even if it's something with a beat, but the lyrics are kind of sad, I'm going to be drawn to that right away.
Yeah.
You know, she's singing about her friend who might try to kill herself. I'm in. Totally in. Yeah.
I think during the pandemic, I listened mostly to country songs. Actually.
To what?
To country songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like old country or new country or
it's
all of the above?
More new country.
Yeah?
Like... The old one I'm very particular about, but I do like...
I mean, they can be the kings and queens of the sad songs.
Yeah. I like saying I want somebody to write a sad country song about me, because I'm like, that's when I know I really matter to you.
What are the other ingredients going to be in that song? Because, you know, there are certain things that have to be in a country song, like a truck and the dog and the drinking and all of that.
Well, I definitely have a truck and I definitely have a dog.
Okay.
So
I guess you qualify.
They have to sing about the girl in the hat that broke their heart.
Nice.
Drove away in a truck with the dog.
Yeah. So then who is your pandemic artist then? Because, like, newer country is something I'm attuned to it, but it's like, people have to talk me into it. I'm like, I know there's good stuff there, but I became so, like, meh, it's just, like, bro stuff. Because there was this period of time where it was all just, like, shake it for my girl and all that. And I'm like, eh, I'm not in the mood for that right now. What more substance?
There's a guy, so Chris Stapleton.
Yes.
Obviously.
Chris Stapleton is amazing.
Luke Combs is really good, too.
Yeah,
I like him.
Actually. No, I have to say, I was aware of Luke Combs, and I'd heard some songs, but then when he did Fast Car, and everybody heard of him, I remember, like, I was all, you know what, okay, I think of you totally differently now, because of how much you love that song, and your feelings about it, and that's just such a sweet thing, you know, that he wanted to, the way he felt about that song, I totally related to, so I'm like, okay, I like you, Luke Combs.
There's, let me see if I can find it really quick, a song called Cowboy Forever.
Uh-huh.
And it's by a female country artist.
Oh, cool.
And I had put a playlist on by Carter Faith.
Carter Faith?
Carter Faith.
Okay.
that's one of my favorite songs.
Like,
she
ever.
She sings it beautifully. And it's basically about how she was with a guy who she thought she could change, and obviously she couldn't. So her heart's broken. But it ended up playing a lot of other female country, like, forward music.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all these women are so great. And I feel like sometimes we forget.
You know, this year at the Grammys, and I know a lot of people think Grammys are a joke, but I like watching them and just being in tune with what people are thinking. And if I remember correctly, every award that was broadcast was won by a female artist.
It was like a huge.
It was huge. And there were some categories that were completely dominated by female artists. And I was just like, hello. There's so many out there. And I've done radio off and on for years. And every once in a while, I would just find myself, I'm playing new music, I'm playing old music. And I'm like, for me, I'm just playing what sounds good next to this thing to me. I'm trying to create like a flow. It's trying to create this vibe. Is it a country vibe? Is it a sad vibe? Is it what kind of vibe? And it would wind up being female artists, just chunks of female artists. And I used to get a lot of comments on that, like, why are you just playing women? And I'm all, I'm just playing music. And I never thought about it that way. And then someone bring it up to me, and I'm like, that's not how I think of it. But I think it's kind of like in talking with you being like a Latina in a higher role in a bar, women behind the bar, women behind the microphone, like all this kind of stuff. I look forward to the day when it's not a big deal to have that distinction anymore. But for now, we got to keep doing it until it becomes normal, right?
Yeah. It'll get there.
It will totally get there.
Definitely a lot more of it needs to be communicated.
Yeah. Well, it's a process, you know, just encouraging people to get up there and do it. And I think sometimes, like, let's look at the Grammys. A couple years ago, the president of the Grammy Association made a comment on stage during the awards thing about how there weren't that many women nominated, and he goes, you women need to step it up. Like, he flat out said something like that, and people were just like, you know, very angry at that. And so I believe that it might have been Boy Genius won something. Somebody won an award, one of the women, said, I think we stepped it up this year. And I was like, yes, good callback. So another question that I always ask, and sometimes it can be like the one that stumps people. But if you are having some downtime, what are you listening to and what are you drinking? Are you listening to country music and drinking whiskey? Are you?
I am probably definitely listening to country music. But I do, so I don't necessarily drink much at home.
Yeah.
Unless it's like.
Good enough. But maybe it's like if you were sitting at the bar after hours and you had your choice of music.
You know what I mean?
So, you've already been doing this.
When we close, I'll switch the playlist. And lately, I've been starting the song with Time of My Life.
The Dirty Dancing song?
Yeah. I'll like sit, I'll do like the rest of my admin stuff, and then I'll just have a glass of wine.
That sounds perfect. Well, that'll keep you awake anyway.
Yeah.
Does it put everybody in a good mood? Do you see other people in the bar kind of shaking their shoulders?
Like, well, it definitely puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
I think they're just kind of like, what are you playing right now?
That's awesome, though. I love that. I mean, that's a song that anytime it comes on, it makes me happy, and partially in a cheesy way, because I'm not expecting it ever. And how can you not have fun when that song is on, even if you're working or something? So, okay, well, that's probably a good place to wrap it up and everything. But if you want to tell people, like, the socials for you, for employees only, whatever it is, now is the time. If they want to follow you on the Instagram or anything like that.
Okay. So my Instagram is Reina 15, R-E-Y-N-A.
Okay.
And then I do have another Instagram that I just started called Flag.
Flag?
Yes. So it's female-led apprenticeship group.
Oh, cool.
And so it's like an industry education-based uplifting women.
Wait, what is this? You need to go into more detail on this before we wrap this up.
It is a... Obviously, it's not a non-profit now, because it's just starting, but hopefully it'll get to kind of that point where it can help lead classes and educate women behind the bar so that they can learn and
get that's awesome.
More educated in the position that I'm in now.
That's amazing. We were just talking about this. How did you not bring it up before?
Okay, so it's just at Flag, just F-L-A-G. So it would be F.L-A-G at underscore L-A.
Okay.
But if you
okay.
just follow Reina 15, it's also on there. A lot okay. easier to find.
Okay, okay. And so what is so your goal is just to like just give more opportunity to women who want to be in the industry?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And has that kicked off yet or it's about to?
It's March 3rd will be the first one that we're doing.
And are these gonna be like little seminars or classes or?
So it'll be both. The first one that we're doing is a little seminar, kind of like a preview to what we are planning on doing throughout the year.
Okay.
Some other ones that are coming up will be focused on mental health. We're going to do one for Pride Month, and then we're going to do another one focusing on Mexican-based spirits that are led by women.
Yay, yes.
That one's going to be fun.
That's amazing. I was just talking to someone today about, they're like, what do you love about California? And I said, Mexico. Or why? I go, because we're Mexico. It's one of the best things about California, you know. So then, if people want more information in order to get involved in that, should they just follow the Instagram?
So I would just look up mine,
yeah.
Reina 15, mm-hmm. and then there's another one on there I'll be posting.
Okay.
The first one that we're going to be having, and then eventually it'll have more information,
yeah. Yeah.
things like that.
Because
so.
It's just getting going,
yes.
so we'll have to see how it builds.
It's the very first one.
That is so cool. I love that. Thank you for doing that. That's an amazing thing to start offering, and this city is so huge.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who want to be involved in that and start learning from that. That's incredible. I think we did talk about that a little bit before, and I completely forgot because it's been a month, and that's so cool. I'm so glad you're doing that. Okay, well, then if someone wants to visit you, they can see you at Employees Only, and Employees Only is, what's the Instagram handle for the LA one? Is there an LA specific one, or
yes,
is it just the regular?
It's literally just Employees just like, Only LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. And you can go to Hollywood and maybe get like bumped into by an Uber Eats robot trying to bring someone dinner.
Yeah, they're all
while you wait outside. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much. It was so fun talking with you.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
So head on over to Instagram and find Reina 15, R-E-Y-N-A 15, so that you can follow Adri and find out about her work with Flag, which is something that's just kicking off now at Flag_LA. And you can see the proper Instagram handle there on her profile, as well as at Employees Only LA. And if you're in Los Angeles, head over to Employees Only. It's a really sweet space. It's like separated into a bunch of little rooms, little speakeasy rooms, music in each room, like live and good playlists. It's a lovely spot. I really am happy to have it here now that I finally made it in after all these years. And very, very excited to see what Adri does with Flag. In the meantime, she did create a playlist for us. It's almost 13 hours long. Thought it was just 12, but it's actually almost 13. So head on over to Music and Booze with Mo on Spotify in order to find that and just play it during the course of your day because it's a real vibe. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SheBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.